So we're holding here in the Perek Sheni, I believe, of the Shemona Prakim. So he had just listed five different kochos of the Nefesh. Very interesting and strange kind of distribution of the kochos. There's the Chelek HaZon, he said before, which is basically takes care of the digestion. The Chelek HaMargish, which are the different senses of a person. The Chelek HaMedame, which is imagination, the ability to put things together. Did we Medame last time, right? I believe in the Chelek HaMisorer and Chelek HaSichli. I don't remember if we stopped in the middle or we got up to the second parak. Would you remember? And then we have the koach of the Chelek HaSichli. So we have these five kochos. Now, they are very interesting. We spoke last night. They're a kind of interesting way of division. But now he's going to speak which of these kochos are relevant in the kochos in mitzvahs and averis. We need to understand there's a platform. Those are the kochos of the nefesh. And there are different... the mitzvahs are chal on some of them, and some of them yes, some of them not. So he says like this: Da ki hameriva mishmat atorim, the listening or obeying and disobeying in a Torah sense of word. In other words, mitzvahs and averis. Omnom yimotz l'shnei chalak michal ki nefesh, only affect two of these areas. Veheim hachelik hamargish vachelik hamisor levad. The chelek that's margish, the senses, and the chelek hamisorer, which we explained, the misorer would be the vast repository of all sorts of drives, not physical drives, but greed, ambition, what we would call midos, rachmanis, achzorius. All those areas that we feel emotionally turned on, that whole range of emotions, that is the Chelek HaMisorer, so that has mitzvahs naveris, and the Chelek HaMargish. Aval Chelek HaZon v'Chelek Medame, the Chelek HaZon v'Chelek Medame, ein mishmas of lo meri. There is no mishmas, it doesn't fall under the rubric of Torah mitzvahs nor averis. Since there's no place for bechira, lo yuchal ha'odom levatal pulasam, a person can't stop it, or like bilam epolma, or to fence them in. So, and he's going to leave over the fifth one, the koach hasichli, is going to leave over for the next part. But this in itself, let's just finish off the sentence, is quite astounding to us. These two parts, so Rambam says, I'm basing on the fact that even when a person is not conscious, the normal bodily functions work, so the zon, and medame, a person's dreams are all in the world of dimyan. Whereas the senses are dull or almost non-existent, person doesn't see or hear or smell when he's sleeping, unless it's very, very loud and he wakes up, but other than that, doesn't. And the chelek the chelek hamargish doesn't work then, and the chelek of sichli and misorer, those are the ones that require the mind, the person to be alert and awake. Now, there are a few things here. What does he mean, for instance, when he speaks about the first one, which is the Chelek HaZon, it's the entire the entire physical activities of ours. I wonder, A, does it really need to... I mean, isn't it obvious that there's no real realm of mitzvahs and averis there? it's kind of I don't know why the Rambam needs to talk about it. Well, I mean that your circulatory system and your digestive system, and these are biologies, and they're not in any way connected to a person. That's one thing that's interesting. The other one is, he says in the Koach HaMedame, there's no mitzvahs and averus. Well, Chazal tell us that hira avera is worse than avera itself. Chazal tell us that, I mean, Chazal's a pasuk, Shatav Nashaseichem, Shalo Taharu B'yom Tavoy L'day Tova B'layla. So the Koach HaDimyon in itself has an extraordinarily harsh tzivuyim. It's something which we have a tzivut to rein it in, not to be mahar b'yom, so it should be mahar v'layla. I would gather that we need to distinguish between the vehicle and the and what pushes it. So let's go back to our case of the Koach Hazan, for instance. You can also ask, well, you're not supposed to eat treifa stuff. So the answer is obvious. You're eating treifa stuff is not it has nothing to do with the digestive system. It has to do with your misorer, your koach harotzna taiva to take it. So the same thing can be said about the koach of medame. A person decides that he wants to fantasize about something because he wants to fantasize about something. It's not something that the fantasy itself produces, it's the person's rutzen to fantasize. So that might possibly be the explanation, even though the Rambam kind of says that it's its own koach, and the reason why it doesn't have mitzvah aver is because it comes no matter what. But I don't know, it's something that very not clear to me what the pshat is. I would venture to guess the following. The koach of the halacha is the mashal. I mean, if a person goes, sees something he shouldn't see, and he has a hira vera, you can't be mechayev of a person for something that happens inadvertently, shalom b'kavana, shalom v'das. What is wrong, what a person shouldn't do, can't do, is to keep dwelling on the thought, because he enjoys dwelling on the thought. So it's always the hearer itself, anything that happens can negate a person's da'as, in other words, without a person consciously doing it, you can't possibly ever fault it and call it an avera. The avera will always be not following through with seichel in the way they ought to follow through. That's a possibility I'm thinking of. I don't know. So he says, but he divides these. Oh gosh, omnam. What about chelak asichli? Yesh ba mevucha. Avani oimesh she'ef she'shir bezakoach gam kibishma asumeri. He says we can understand that sichli also has. You can classify it as listening to mitzvahs or rebelling. By believing either, in yanim of deos, in yanim of different emunas, a person can affirm something that's wrong or something that's right. Aval ein bo maisa she'omel of bistam she'maisa mitzavera. It says we can say that it's included in the realm of mitzvahs naveris, but there's no act of mitzvavera. So that's why he says even though this area does fall under the rubric of mitzvahs naveris, but since they're not really mitzvahs, that's why I'd like to stick to the two that I'm talking about. Since, in other words, he wants to be practical and so on, he's going to stick to those two. This is also something that's quite, that's also a bit tough to understand, because if we're talking about the chelek hasichli as such, what I understand to be true based on the evidence given to me is it's what one would assume it to be a fact. For instance, if 2 and 2 equals 4, and that's been my experience, that's what my seichel picked up, and now someone tells me you must believe 2 equals 5, I couldn't do that. So in terms of Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's either or. Either I'm figuring it out right or not figuring it out right. So many of the pshatim go along the lines of that it's a person's rutzen to do whatever he wants to do that sort of derails his true belief. Fine, but that would put it under the category of the person's misorer. I don't want to be encumbered by a god, so I decide that there is no god. It wouldn't help me with this over here. So I don't know. I leave it as a shaila. Omnam, he says. Right, if I'm arguing with somebody whether 2 and 2 equals 4 equals 5, let's give a better example. Let's take something we could argue about. Let's say we're both engineers, and they're asking us if a certain bridge is feasible, if a certain bridge, the way it's shaped, will hold up. And we both calculate, and I calculate one way, you calculate another way. It's hard to impose mitzvahs averus on that. It's hard to say that if you calculate it, and by your calculations, the bridge can hold or the bridge cannot hold, that you did something right or wrong. It's very hard to impose a munah as a mitzvah that you mechayev the seichel, or it's merry if not. The way in which it's explained by many, why is it considered a mitzvah and so on, is because there's always a sense that if I choose not to believe, there are other factors involved in it. It's because I'd rather not believe, either because I want to do what I feel like doing, I don't become the mitzvahs, or because everybody around me thinks it's a lot more cool not to believe, and nobody normal believes. I'm being faulted for other things than the pure sichliistic conclusion. If I honestly draw a conclusion, my mind picks up the pieces and can't see it otherwise. Hard to say that that's an avera. You can't expect me, if my mindset works in a certain way, my mind works a certain way, to think differently than I really think. So that's something that's a hard one to pick up on. The Rambam does say, what? Sorry. Yeah, the Rambam does say in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, a person cannot induce questions himself. A person can't sit down and just out of the blue say, and what if it's all wrong? So that might be an example of it. But be it as it may, it also leaves some room for unclarity. Omnam, he says, Hamailos harem shnei minim. There are two types of milos on a person. Milos midos, milos that we call in the world of midos, or milos sichlis. Or kenegdo shnei min aprisius, and then you have two types of shortcomings. So you have two things that you can call special qualities of the soul, and two things that you can call shortcomings. Omnam, ha-mailas ha-sichlis, harin yemotzo l'chayek ha-sichli mein ha-chochma. So the mailas ha-sichlis are wisdom, v'hi yedias ha-sibas har-chokos va-krovos, acha yedias metzis ha-dova ha-shayachru sibaisov. So he says, the first mile of the seichel is chochma. Chochma is the understanding of the cause and effect of everything that's around us, which is a very, very it's a definition of chachma that we would agree with. Chachma means I see a tree growing, I understand what causes it to grow, the process from A to Z, how it's growing and giving out fruit. So that's called chachma. And seichel, he says, so even a seichel is a sichli is a generic term, but you divide into two. Chachma is the ability to sort of extrapolate from what you have to what you don't have. Here are basic factors about, these are basic facts I've discovered about this. Let me recombine it, put it together in a different way. Let me see if I can find something similar to it. Let me figure out what causes this, and so on. And that's the get of Chachma. Haseichel, umimena seichel yuni, so he says there is also a part of seichel which is called muskolos rishonos, which means axioms. We, in order to build any type of science, any type of knowledge, There are going to be axioms, which means I can't prove them, but I need to sense that they're correct. Let's take a very famous one that pervades science. The idea that the simplest explanation to something is usually the right explanation. One of the reasons why we accept the fact that the Earth goes around the Sun, not the other way, is not because there's any real proof, as much as so many things, so many problems become so much more so pushit. Whereas if I have the everything coming around the Earth, I need an incredible encyclopedia of paths and explanations that, you know, it doesn't but we accept it as an axiom that the shortest, most, the simplest explanation is probably the right one. So he says, and that's a muskel rishon. That's sort of an axiom. It doesn't, I can't prove it. I mean, I could, it could very well not be like that, but we somehow instinctively accept it. That's called a muskel rishon. It's an axiom built in. Umimenu seichel nikne. And from that, we draw a quiet seichel. In other words, these are axioms that we sense and perceive as absolute givens, and we build from that and all that we know, and so on. Umehena charifus vatova havana, and some of the qualities of the seichel is sharpness, understanding well, v'toyt fisadovas mehirs b'lo yizman, and that's being able to chop something very quickly, or b'zman katzar meot, uprisius zekoach. The opposite of this is anything that is that goes against these things, and so on. So the milas of the seichel are one, having a good input. In other words, our axioms and so on are solid, and we process them out and are able to extrapolate them, use them well. But Omni says Milos Hamidos, the Milo of Midos. So once again, why in Seichel doesn't list something like Talmud Torah? I don't know. You know, I have no idea. But even though, you know, Talmud Torah is the one that most occupies the Seichel, I think Talmud Torah is a secondary stage. In other words, the Torah, the quality of the Torah will be contingent on the person learning it, and v'meila, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure that that's called part of the seichel or part of the person. Omna milas hamidos haren yimotzu lechelak amsar levadei. As far as the mile of midos, that certainly belongs only to the chelak amsar. V'chelak hamargish b'zayin ena l'shamish lechelak amsar. And the chelak hamargish is only a shamish for the amsar. So when we, what drives us most of the time is when we're excited about something, against something, and so on. That's usually kaveh what will happen. So he says, the Masvis is Vachelik Hamargish Bazainian Ainel Shamish, I'm sorry, Omazakabs Moid Zihirus Ayan Yofa Tzedek, Savlonis, Anovis, Tapkus, and Gvura. It's all simple Zahiras. We know Ein Yofa is that you don't begrudge somebody the good. Vatzedek is justice. Savlonis is patience. Anovis, modesty, humility. Vistapkus is, being sort of ascetic and making do with little. And the wrong of any of these is having not the right amount of this particular midah, or having too much of it. And this is the Rambam's famous klal that he says in when he speaks on the mitzvah lachta bedrachav, what's included in lachta bedrachav, he speaks about mahuafata, and then he says the main point is that he gives each one its appropriate place. I want to hone in a little bit on this point, because the Rambam is sort of making a much larger point. For instance, let's go to a mitzvah. If a person has three tzitzis, he's not yaitzah, and he's over bal tigra. If he has five tzitzis, he's over bal taisif. Any mitzvah that you do too little or too much, there's a problem. A person davens five times a day versus a person who davens twice a day. He's done too little, he's done too much, and each one is falling short, and that's always. Over here he says, in this world of midos, the maila lies in having the chisaron lies in the chisabela yitaben, in having it too little or too a lot. Well, that's true of all of Torah. And the answer is no. The primary mitzvahs in the Torah are don't do, and I decided to do it anyway. Or do it, and I decided not to do it. There's sort of a clarity about it, and that's that. The if I do too little or a lot, it's an additional aspect of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have four parshas. Having more than four parshas or less than four parshas is going against a certain grain of a certain outside halacha. If there's a in the world of midos, which he calls again deos, the Rambam says that the key for it is the ability for the seichel to allocate different areas of function of where each midah is relevant. So my seichel tells me this is a case where with this Talmud you need to be very, very, very strict and very strong, and with this Talmud you need to let go a little bit. If somebody has a word in chinuch, are you supposed to be tough? Are you supposed to be easygoing? The answer is it depends. It depends on the situation. There's no fixed answer in that. So of the things that, so he says over here, in these midos, the etzem mitzvah, the maaseh Hashem of it, is doing it in the right proportion. Eating chaza, for instance, there are no amounts that are recommended, and a person needs to be an extremist and never to eat chaza. In midos of kas, the mashal, there is no solution never to get angry. There are times when a person needs to be very strong about the point he's making. And therefore the mitzvah lies really in the ability to properly adjudicate which case is this way and which case is this way. The chelik of the midos are something where having a sense of how to balance these middles is where the chiyuv lies at. Avali says, "Hachelik hazon v'medame le'omaboy lo mailo v'lo prisus." In Zanim Edam, it is a man of Jesus. The Omnum Yoma Shumisnal Kitikna Shalai Kitikna. Kemoishe Yoma Plaini Kulay Toiv, Oi Botali Kulay. In this chelik, that you know, if this is sort of the tsura of the person, so we can't say this is a milas chisaron. This is his metzias. His digestive system is working well, they're not working well. His lungs are breathing, not breathing. It's really got nothing to do with the person, and therefore we can't say any milo or prisas as regards them. Again, I'm not sure why this point is being made. I'm not sure why he lists those kochos. If someone were to ask me, list the kochos of a person, the simple body and its function, I would not list it. It's so distinct from the panemius and the shaman and so on and so forth. But Al Kaponim, he does list it over here, and he talks about it, that doesn't have Rov Miles or Priestess and so on. There's a piece missing here. So he's listed the five kochos, and he's explained the framework for where it is that Avoda takes place. What was sort of missing here is a place for Ratzon, a place for, where's the sheer willpower of a person? I mean, these five things that we talk about seem to me to be different attributes that we make use for different things. But is there a more shoreshtik nekuda? It would seem as if the chelek hama'ora, which in his mind is that chelek. The chelek hama'or in the person has the koach. It's the active element of his personality, and as such, it can go out and do right or wrong and so on. They stay around and so on, but I'm not sure. The what we call willpower. Our bechira, the core, how we identify in ourselves, what is the bechira, what's moving along, I'm not sure how it fits into what he has over here. There are some other, I guess there's some other interesting kashas they ask here, if the shayach in the chelek hazan and so on, if there's chayk mitzvahs or not mitzvahs. But Echshlo here, what he means to say is not that there's going to be a the mitzvah is not going to change the entirety of it. I'll make it used as a mitzvah, but I can't say that the kochos themselves have changed with the mitzvah. These kochos are much more in people. It's much more natural. So it's not really shaykh to say that there's, going to be a difference. I guess the best I could venture in guessing this point over here. It's a very not clear point. What one also would want to say is that there's a certain interdependency. In other words, if I feel, believe, or think that I want this, then my other kochos will go along with it. If my mind tells me subconsciously that this is a great place and it's fantastic, then I forego my hunger. Even though I haven't eaten supper yet, I will run there because it's great, it's fantastic, it's whatever. So the other halakim, and again, it's usually chelek ha'or, that creates the realm of Torah mitzvahs about them. That is what he says in his perek. I want to add another point that I think is important noticing here. It's not as if there are any koiches that automatically belong here or there. There are those that don't participate in mitzvahs. The other ones have an ability to participate or to not participate. He doesn't talk here about, for instance, the Yetzer Tov, which is always pushing a person to Guru, Yetzer Hara. It's not coming into the point that he's saying over here. What he will be needing as he goes along is where could something go wrong, and what should he do about it if it goes wrong? And that obviously it'll depend where the sheresh is. So even though it expresses itself in my eating this, that, or the other, but if I don't know where it's coming from, then I can't deal with it. This is it's a very important point, and I think this is what he's trying to make over here in his way, is in order to deal with a person's self in terms of pushing himself to do the right, you need to first sort of size up yourself. You need to be able to have an understanding of all of that mental traffic, what's going where and how. And without that, the person doesn't really have a sense of where things are coming from. Let's give an example. Imagine somebody, you're in dental school, imagine somebody's learning to be a dentist by following directions. He's never really sort of looked in a tooth and so on, but somebody's directing him, and the person's very good at following directions. Move your hand this way, move your hand that way, do this, that, the other thing. Even if the person could maneuver it successfully, but without really understanding where he's going, where he's going, it's quite dangerous, or just not going to happen. So there is an inyan by knowing and understanding what's going on. A person has the ability to pinpoint. So let's say a person's having a dream, and the dream is not a good dream. Now it's something that he shouldn't be dreaming. So the person tends to get angry with his koach hadimyon. That's wrong. The poor koach hadimyon is doing its best. It's not. The koach hadimyon is its own entity. You don't have really control over it, and that's what it is. You need to move on to the koach hamisorer to sort of work with that koach. You need to figure out who's calling the shots, really. So just like if you're dealing with a company with some sort of clerk, and the clerk is absolutely obnoxious, so you need to ask yourself, who gives the person his orders, and let me find him and see what I can do, because it's all coming from outside, it's not coming from inside. So the kochas, they talk about the medamen, so the mezen, these are kochas in a person's nefesh that appear, but the fact is that they're not coming from that koch itself. If a person overeats, it's rarely his stomach that has a problem, or the biology. It's usually a sense of he wants something, he craves something. It's coming from some deeper sense. Okay, we'll hold it here. Any questions? Okay, so next week, Tuesday night, 7:45 is not going to work for you. I'm teaching somewhere 8 o'clock. Is there an earlier time or different time of the day that would work for you?